Hey, good morning, everybody. Alan Ellis here. I was just looking at the Maryland Hunting Coalition Facebook page. Put a little post up there yesterday. We have 3,480, almost 3,500 people that follow our Facebook page on Facebook, social media. And we invited all of them to join the Maryland Hunting Coalition. It's free to do so. And there's 1,000 members now in the Maryland Hunting Coalition, 1,006, I think. And with the season right around the corner and licenses on sale and the bear lottery open and needed that. All the news, coming up on the upcoming season. It starts September 1. I thought maybe it'd be a nice time to invite people to join. We'll see what happens. It's very free, very easy to do. Just click on the link there on the Facebook page or go to mdhuntingcoalition.org and it says join for free. Just fill out the information. We don't share it with anybody. We just use it to send you the newsletter. That's all. So, it's getting to be that time of year. A lot of things happening behind the scenes. Our newsletter's coming out next week. You don't get it unless you're a member. We put some of the information on the website to share with the public, but the inside scoop goes to the members, and for good reason. We're working on a couple of different things, and writing letters and receiving replies and things like that. So that'll all be up there on the newsletter. But like I said, if you're not a member, you don't get it. So. Not that we're hiding anything. We just like to keep our members informed first. So there you go. Our phone number here is 410-WCBM-680, and our producer is Chris Klaproth this morning. And Chris was sharing a very, very scary story about his neighborhood in Arbutus, Chris? Yeah. Why don't you tell us about it? Feel free.
Okay, what I was telling Alan was that I was out cutting the grass, and it was about 4 o'clock in the afternoon, and I'm just doing what you normally do when you cut grass. So I'm pulling the lawnmower and turn around, and all of a sudden I'm like about 5 feet away from a fox, and it's 4 o'clock in the afternoon, and it's like I'm not really that knowledgeable on foxes, but
right.
I just knew that something was not right with it.
But it just walked. You were mowing the grass, and the thing walked into the picture.
It walked right down the street, and I just turned around, and there it was.
Okay, so that's usually not a normal thing because wildlife is supposed to be frightened of us.
Mm-hmm.
Unless it's been habituated, and that doesn't seem like what you told me, that this animal was habituated, but there it is in close proximity. And my initial response would have been to probably try to get away, back up slowly and just kind of put some distance between me and it before going into the house and getting a gun and killing it. But you're out there unarmed. You've got a lawnmower.
I've got a lawnmower running.
Yeah.
I mean, this is like a normal powered gas lawnmower.
Right.
And it's running, and this fox just looked at me, and I looked at it, and right next to me was like a 3-foot fence.
Right.
So I just hopped the fence, and I just stood there, left the lawnmower running,
mm-hmm.
and I thought, well, let me see if I can make myself bigger
right.
to charge it.
Yeah,
so,
like it was a bear.
Yeah, exactly.
Okay,
so I put my arms up, and I went, rawr, and the thing just looked at me, and I looked at it, and I said, I am not moving.
Nope. Good plan. Good plan.
And, because I was in somebody else's backyard, I couldn't slowly back up.
Right, right.
Because then I'd have to leave the safety of the fence.
Sure.
So I'm just keeping an eye on it, because worst-case scenario is it starts running after me. I'm just going to try to outrun it, zigzag, do whatever I can.
At that point, it didn't look like it was going to run after you, though.
No.
But
you never know.
But you're right. You're right. So what was going through your mind? Were you thinking this thing's sick? This thing is rabid, mange? What were you looking at?
Well, first I was looking at the coat because when I was younger, I had seen a fox when I lived out in Howard County. And it was mangy and everything else. This was a gorgeous fox.
So
it looks
didn't,
like it did take care of itself.
Yeah, it didn't appear to be anything wrong with
no,
the coat.
Just 4 o'clock in the afternoon.
Yeah,
it's like,
not good.
Nah, this is not right.
Right. Nope. So then what happened?
So I stood, you know, once the fox and I stared each other down, the fox just turned around and just nonchalantly just walked away, walked across a very busy street, and just went into a neighbor's yard.
No concern on the mind of the fox at all.
No concern whatsoever. And after a while, you know, I got finished cutting the grass, and I saw my next-door neighbor whose yard that the fox went into, and I walked over, and I said, hey, just to give you a heads up, I said, you know, there was a fox out here earlier today, and I said, and it walked across the street and into your yard, and I said, I lost track of it. So as we're talking, the dog started just going crazy.
Now, was the dog inside or outside?
The dog was outside, chained, and it was about 10 feet away from us. And the dog was going crazy, and she happened to look underneath her porch or her deck, and there was the fox.
Mm.
So she looked at me, and I said, get the dog in the house.
Oh, yeah.
You get in the house. And
yeah.
I said, I'm leaving. You call animal control. And she said, well, you know, they don't do anything. I said, well, that's neither here nor there. Call them. I said, because you never know.
Yeah, you need to do that.
Exactly. So she did grab the dog. She went in. I just hightailed it across the street. But in the process of her getting the dog, she looked underneath the deck again, and the fox started walking up the street. And after that, my sister was on Facebook, and she had told me that she had seen a report from somebody else in the neighborhood that the fox was running around. But the thing is, though, I did not ask her what the timestamp was.
Yeah, it could have been before or after.
Exactly, so I didn't know. But either way, 4 o'clock in the afternoon, not a good thing.
No, you're right. Wow. Well, I mean, you know, you asked me for my opinion on that, and I would say that that probably was exhibiting a behavior that would be consistent with rabies.
Mm-hmm.
You know, there are two displays in the animal world. One is fierce or ferocious rabies.
Okay.
The other one is, you know, dumb rabies.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, that's where the animal appears confused, unafraid. You know, you got to understand that rabies is a disease of the brain.
Exactly.
You know, and it affects the animal's brain, and it can trigger, you know, horrific aggressive behavior, or it can trigger, you know, go the other way, where the animal just loses all sense of whatever. When you said, I made myself big and growled at it, you know, I mean, number one, a normal fox would never even come
exactly
close to you, you know, mowing the grass or anything else. You wouldn't see a fox. So there's definitely an issue there. And I asked you if it was a mature fox. You seemed to think it was a, you know, full grown animal rather than just a, you know, a curious
it wasn't
pup,
a kit or a
kit,
exactly.
Pup, whatever, you know. So I get it. Okay. So, you know, the proper thing was to stay away from it. And unfortunately, the woman with the dog should have called animal control. Somebody should have. Just to give them a heads up, tell them it was in the area. And, you know, at 4 o'clock, what day was it?
It was like a Tuesday or a
Wednesday. No, okay. So 4 o'clock, they should have been open. They should have been around available, you know, and at least giving you a recommendation, something to do, you know. But if she didn't call, she didn't call.
And I mean,
even Maryland Department of Natural Resources, they would probably be able to help you with what to do in that situation. But, you know, common sense. Look, there are some vector species for rabies here in Maryland. One is a red fox. Number one on the list is raccoon.
Okay.
Skunks.
Mm-hmm.
Skunks. Raccoons and red fox and bats are part of that as well.
Okay.
So, but that doesn't mean that animals like skunks and opossums and even groundhogs can be afflicted with rabies, you know, so, and other animals as well. So, you know, if an animal's bitten by a rabid animal, even if it's a non, you know, vector species, I mean, a cow can get rabies.
Sure. It sounds like with everything that you're describing, any warm-blooded animal.
Yeah, exactly.
Okay.
Yeah, exactly. And the thing about rabies is you don't survive it. It's a fatal disease. And that animal was probably, you know, not long from death, probably 24 hours. But even so, anybody who came in contact with it, any cat, any dog, any kid, you know, you just take every precaution in the world, and you better get the shots,
mm-hmm.
you know. So, It's not a good thing. Maryland is pretty high incidence of per capita of rabies. I think Montgomery County still leads the way with raccoons. I think Wicomico County is pretty high with bats. So I think that's the Wicomico. Yeah, I'm pretty sure it's Wicomico County. So you know, it's a bad thing. It really is. It's fatal.
Yeah. So, I mean, it's not only is it fatal for humans, but I think, you know, just to see an animal die such a horrid death.
Oh, yeah, of course. Remember old Yeller?
Yeah, exactly. You know?
Mange is not a happy ending either. Mange is usually fatal. Occasionally an animal will get over mange, but for the most part, animals die with mange. And it will drive them pretty much insane. And at the end of an animal's life like that, an animal will seek shelter, and it'll seek shelter under the lady's porch. It'll seek shelter in a barn, in a shed, horse barn, stable. It'll seek shelter. I had one actually at the house here in Baltimore County that was a mange animal, and I saw it in the evening and chased it off my porch, and the next morning it had died in the cat box right beside the porch. So... It's not fun. It really isn't.
No.
So.
No.
But yeah, it's something to watch out for. No question about it. And especially, you know, I mean, in a neighborhood where you don't necessarily see animals like that. I mean, I see foxes all the time on the way into the station in you know, Old Court Road and Liberty Road and Rolling Road and, you know, the areas are between here and my house and it's just, they're everywhere, and I've had them for the house in Baltimore County. I've had them there for 20 years. There's always been a mating pair of foxes come through the yard, and we've seen them in the yard. I've lured them up to the bedroom window doing the kiss thing on my knuckles. You know, when you see them, you can stop them. And not long ago, I was on the way in here, and at Church Lane and Old Court, there's a little convenience store there. There was one walking through the parking lot. And I wanted to get a closer look at it, so I pulled in the parking lot, and it ran across Old Court Road into the cemetery there, or the cemetery church grounds there. And, you know, I'm sitting there in a truck, and I'm kissing my knuckles like a chipmunk or something that to get its attention. And it stopped and looked around, and, you know, it saw me moving in the truck, and it turned around, and I again, and it just turned back around. You know, I mean, they're curious, you know, but that was more than curious. That animal was dangerous.
Yeah, and the fact that you did, I mean, when you see them, and occasionally sometimes when I get out of here and I get home early in the morning, I'll see them running around the neighborhood.
Oh, sure.
But it's dark.
Yeah,
But at 4 o'clock in the afternoon, not so good.
Not so good. You're absolutely right. Yeah, you're absolutely right. Saw a raccoon middle of the day one time over on, I can never remember the name of this road, the road where the towers are over here in Owings Mills, not our towers, but the other channel's towers.
I know where ours are, but
there's a field over there, Owings Mills, where the towers are for the other radio station. That road that runs by there, it's always full of deer in there. But I saw a raccoon at the bottom of there, right off of Old Court, a couple of years ago, and it was in the middle of the day, walking around in a circle in the middle of the road.
Ah.
You know, so
horrible.
Yeah, you know, I mean, it's you know, there's something.
Yeah, you can't do anything about it. Though.
No. So, I mean,
you could if there weren't other houses around.
Sure.
But otherwise, you can't.
That one's out of my control. I mean, the most merciful thing I could have done was run the thing over. But,
exactly.
But I didn't. So you know, it's okay. Well, it's out there.
Yep. And I think it's going to get worse.
Why is that?
Well, I think because...
The eclipse is coming.
There you go.
The rabies is going to...
The world's going to come to an end.
Animals with rabies are going to run the streets.
Cats and dogs are going to get married.
Yeah. Could happen.
Anything's going to happen.
That's right. Yeah. Yes. Deer are going to shed their antlers prematurely. Oh, good grief. It's crazy. So, all right, buddy. Well, thanks for sharing the story. 410 WCBM 680, 410-922-6680 is our phone number. Hey, got a couple things to tell you about today and tomorrow at Bow Hunter's Den out there in Finksburg. Let me get to their spot here And I'll tell you what's happening there. It's their 25th anniversary sale. It's quite a celebration today and tomorrow, the 19th and 20th. It's the indoor archery range opens up. It's a separate building out behind Bowhunter's Den. And you'll have factory reps on hand from such places as Family Traditions and Bear Archery and Trophy Ridge and Big Shot Targets and Black Eagle Arrows and Hawk Optics and so forth. You can win great door prizes, and they are giving away a Matthews Z3 bow. So it's at Bowhunter's Den. That's 3950 Sykesville Road in Finksburg. You just go up Route 32, and when you hit 91, you're there. It's right there at the light. You can come in off of, you know, off of 140 and 91 there at Finksburg and hit 32 and look across the street, and it's right there. Yeah, you'll see it. That's where all the tree stands are. There was a lot of activity there yesterday when I went by. But check it out. They're a Matthews dealer. Not only that, they sell PSE, and they sell Parker crossbows and Mission crossbows, and it'd be a great time to go out there and celebrate with them their 25th anniversary and check out the new indoor archer range at Bowhunter's Den. That phone number, 410-751-2494. Website is bowhuntersdenmaryland.com. Alan Ellis here for Catonsville Linex and Bay Linex of Glen Burnie spray-on bedliners. Linex spray-on bedliners rated number one, carry nationwide lifetime warranty. Linex spray-on bedliner completely seals out water, meaning no rust in your bed. Your tools, your tackle, your crabbing and hunting gear can't hurt your truck bed. Choose the Linex premium bedliner or the Linex Extra. Both look great. And Catonsville Linex and Bay Linex now offer truck gear, the toughest accessories for your truck, step bars, tonneau covers, floor liners, grill guards. You get it. Catonsville Linex and Bay Linex of Glen Burnie provide the best protection for your truck. Protect your investment, your pickup truck, like I did with a Linex spray-on bedliner, truck gear, and accessories. Catonsville Linex, new location, 2076 Lord Baltimore Drive in Windsor Mill, just off Security Boulevard across from Coons Ford, 410-455-0800. That's 410-455-0800. Bay Linex of Glen Burnie, located at 201 Wholesome Way in Glen Burnie. Call 410-789-0199. That's 410-789-0199. Linex. Nothing is more frustrating than a dead battery. When your truck won't start or your boat or ATV leaves you stranded far from home, that's not good. The solution is Battery Warehouse. Not only does Battery Warehouse provide batteries for your car or truck, you can find marine batteries for cranking or trolling, ATV batteries, tractor batteries, motorcycle batteries, and batteries for all outdoors equipment. Did you know Battery Warehouse has batteries for wild game feeders, dog collars, cell phones, predator calls, and trail cameras? How about your video camera? Or if you tow your boat or trailer, your trailer brake control battery? Any battery you need. With 10 locations in Central Maryland, there's a Battery Warehouse convenient to you. Bel Air, Frederick, Cockeysville, Glen Burnie, Dundalk, Hagerstown, Westminster, Eldersburg, Parkville, and Woodlawn. Visit BatteryWarehouseMaryland.com online for the phone numbers and more information. When you need a hot flash, get to the Battery Warehouse near you.
If you're a working man and your truck breaks down, you only need to know one repair shop, W&W Tire and Auto Service in Finksburg. They built your reputation on getting you in, fixed, and out the door quickly, efficiently, and at a very competitive price. Bridgestone and Firestone tires for pickups, SUVs, and commercial vehicles, large trucks, motorhomes, even diesel engines are no problem. W&W Tire and Auto Service on Route 140, 3233 Baltimore Boulevard in Finksburg. Just look for that big American flag. Call for an appointment, 410-833-8410, W&W. Tire and Auto.
Talk Radio 680 WCPM.
Down in Louisiana, where the alligators grow so mean, lived a girl that I swear to the world made the alligators look tame.
Peter got a granny.
Everybody said it was a shame, 'cause her mama was a-working on the chain gang. A mean, vicious, straight razor toting woman. Lord have mercy. Every day before supper time, she'd go down and buy the truck patch and pick her a mess of poke salad and carry it home in a cold sack of poke salad. And Peter got you, granny.
Gator got your granny. That's right. That's for sure. Hey, you know who else is having a big sale next week? Yes, indeed. Next Saturday. It's a called a huge blowout sale. Maybe we'll call them during the break. Chesapeake Outdoors. Chesapeake Outdoors is having a huge blowout sale. You know, they have everything for fishing and hunting and crabbing there. Who knows what's going to be on the sale? I know it's probably going to be hunting-oriented. They got a lot of clothing. You know, and if you're getting ready for archery season, of course, they've got the new Raven crossbows. They've got Barnett and Mission 10-point and Carbon Express and Excalibur. Matthews bows. The Hoyt archery, the Hoyt bows, they're all on clearance sale. Every Hoyt bow in stock is going. Gone at great prices. You know, they carry firearms and ammunition, Yeti coolers, Bubba Blade knives, waterfowl calls, you name it. They've got it at Chesapeake Outdoors. Now, look, don't forget about this sale next week. I mean, if you want to call them during the week and find out some of the stuff that's going to be on there, you can. It's 410-604-2500. We'll try to call them here during the break at 6 o'clock and see if somebody will come on the air with us and tell us about that. So, Chesapeake Outdoors. They're located on just off Route 50, exit 39B. That's Dominion Road on Ken Island in Chester, Maryland. As soon as you cross your bridge, just start looking on the right-hand side. You'll see their sign there. And then you get off the exit Dominion Road right there at the Exxon and go around behind it. And there it is, Chesapeake Outdoors. You'll like it. You'll be glad you went. 410-604-2500 for Chesapeake Outdoors, ChesapeakeOutdoors.com. All right, 410 WCBM 680, 410-922-6680. Wildlife Encounters today, led by our own Chris Klaproth. Yes, indeed. Yeah, so if anybody's had any or has a comment about any or maybe had something in the past, I remember years ago when I first moved here, a woman in Owings Mills working in her garden was attacked by a groundhog that had rabies. Apparently had gotten bitten by one of these creatures and, might have gotten a fight with a fox or skunk or possum or who knows, you know. So, yeah, it's not fun. We talked a little bit about this a couple weeks ago. Maryland provides the first-time hunters opportunity to experience the sport of hunting. And I don't necessarily call hunting a sport. You know, I really don't. I mean, maybe sporting clays or trap and skeet or something like that. But I don't necessarily call hunting wildlife a sport. It, you know, OCM, you never know. Maryland Department of Natural Resources is offering a new hunting license for first-time hunters. It's the Apprentice Hunting License, available to residents and non-residents of any age who never held a Maryland hunting license. The Apprentice License is $10 for residents and $20 for non-residents and provides the same privileges as other Maryland hunting licenses. It allows anyone interested in hunting a one-time chance to try the sport before committing to the more lengthy process of obtaining a traditional hunting license. Quote, our hope is to provide an apprentice an opportunity to experience hunting in Maryland at a reduced rate and have them become lifelong hunters. It's a recruitment tool. Bring more people in. Wildlife and Heritage Service Director Paul Pedito said hunters remain the primary source of revenue for conservation initiatives and are critical to the state's wildlife management efforts. Boy, do I have a lot to say on that. Individuals can get only one Maryland apprentice hunting license per lifetime, and applicants must first pass a short online hunter safety course offered by the Maryland Natural Resources Police. When hunting, apprentice license holders must be accompanied and directly supervised by a fully licensed Maryland resident, 18 years old or older, who must be close enough to take control of an archery device or firearm. In other words, if you're pointing at something you shouldn't be pointing at, the mentor should be sitting there with you and say, don't do that, and if necessary, take charge of the situation. An apprentice hunter can only hunt unaccompanied after successfully completing the full hunter safety course and receiving a certificate of competency in firearms and hunter safety. Licensed apprentice hunters can hunt deer, rabbit, squirrel, turkey, and waterfowl. Appropriate stamps are needed to hunt migratory birds, deer, and waterfowl with bow or muzzleloader. Additionally, anyone 17 years old or older needs a managed hunt permit in certain state parks. So there you go. Not a lot of information. I'm guessing there's more on some of these links that are listed in the forum. I do know that the Maryland safety hunter safety instructors are not, you know, overwhelmed or enthusiastic about this. They believe that any hunter, before they go afield, should be schooled entirely in a hunter safety education program. I don't disagree with that. But, you know, I think the thing they're most upset about is that their advice wasn't sought legislative process. Okay. But guess what? Here we are in Maryland. If you have an issue, and if you're a Maryland hunter safety instructor, let's say you work for a county. Let's say you're a county hunter safety instructor in Howard County or, you know, Harford County or, you know, Queen Anne's County or something, and you don't like this bill. Guess what? Step up, go to the hearing, and make your opinions known. You have a right to do that. Lincoln in Chester. Good morning, Lincoln. Tell us about your encounter.
Well, I used to live in Glen Burnie. I'm in Chester now, over on the shore. But it's around 2009. I lived in Glen Burnie probably from 1970 up till 2015. And never in my life had I ever seen a flying squirrel till about 1:30 in the evening on the 4th of July evening.
Yep.
My buddy and I, we were just sitting out back, and I thought it was a lemur at first. I probably got away from somebody's house.
A what?
What are they? The little tiny monkeys?
A lemur.
Uh-huh. Lemurs? That's what it looked like. Then, you know, we're trying to figure out what it was.
A lemur.
It was only about 20 foot away from us, and then we figured, yeah, it's got to be a flying squirrel.
Right.
A little tiny thing. Cute as hell.
Oh, they're very cute. No question.
Yeah. And also, probably about back in 2014, I had a coyote ripping through my trash.
Oh, wow. Wow. Now, was that in Chester or was that in Glen Burnie?
Yeah, I was in Glen Burnie also. I mean, I used to live right across from the high school. So it's
yeah.
a very populous area. And it was a mangy-looking coyote.
Yeah.
That was probably around 11:30 at night.
Huh. How about that? Well,
there's
all kinds of critters out there. We just don't know. You know that?
Now that
flying squirrel, first one I ever saw was in Carroll County. I saw a whole pile of them in the woods up there. My accountant lives up there, and he was still doing his taxes out of his house at that time. And he had a lot of bird feeders and stuff. And these flying squirrels would come out, and they'd jump off the trees onto the bird feeder, and then they'd get a couple seeds or something, and they'd, you know, jump back onto the trees. And it was amazing. They'd climb up, and they'd sail down. You know, they're pretty cool. And the last one I saw was Pretty Boy Reservoir 2 years ago.
Somebody told me they're attracted to peanut butter.
Anything's attracted to peanut butter. I'm attracted to peanut butter.
Yes, I'm
not. I'm having a peanut butter and jelly Oreos. Robin left them in the truck, so she's in trouble. Robin's not with us, by the way, this morning. She stayed at the house, and she's resting up from a long week of being on the road. But she's listening, and she says to hi. I'm supposed to tell everybody hi for her, so we will.
All right.
Thanks for the call. All right, buddy.
Yes, sir.
You got it. Interesting stuff. That would be a flying squirrel. Brian in Hamilton. Good morning, Brian. How are you?
Oh, pretty good. Listen, I just want to relate something. I heard that story about the fox, and it related back to something. A little scary happened to me a couple years ago with a raccoon. We saw him in the daytime,
yep.
which is unusual.
Very.
It seemed very calm, but it was out of the ordinary, so we notified animal control. They set a trap, and it was a cage trap, and they got the raccoon, and I've never in my life seen anything so violent. And so, in fact, the animal control person, he was hesitant to even get, you know, had the hook in the rod to get him out. But it was foaming at the mouth, and it was just tearing at that metal trap like you wouldn't believe. I've never seen anything like it. It was a very, very scary and disconcerting thing to watch. So it was quite obvious that if he didn't have rabies, I don't know what else he would have had.
Oh, that would have been it. Absolutely.
Yeah. And one other, and following up, I'd just like to know, I had an old gentleman years ago when I was younger. During the autumn months, it was everything squirrel. He trapped and you know, had squirrel burgers and skinned the squirrels and ate them and so on and so forth. What is the regulation in the city now as far as trapping and squirrels. I mean, what is the illegalities, or, you know, can you go to jail for life for it, or what's the deal?
Well, squirrel have a season here in Maryland. It comes in on September 2nd. It goes out, I think, end of February. It's a very long season. But as far as trapping them and that type of thing, that's not really covered. They are a game animal, and, you know, there would be a violation there if you're just trapping them and killing them and eating them and so forth, you know, without a hunting license. So I don't know. Interesting question. Now, I know guys that, you know, have them in their yard, and they, you know, take the pellet gun out and they pop a couple of them, but most of these guys do that in season, and they, you know, they use them for, you know, fried squirrel or whatever they use them for. But it's, you know, it's a little different thing in the city, and I'm not sure that it's let me check that. That's an interesting question.
Yeah, I mean, this old gentleman, I'm laughing, but, I mean, you know, I guess a lot of the animal people out there wouldn't like it. He had a nice trap he made. He would trap them and drown them in a big aluminum garbage can, full of water, drown them and skin them and eat them. And he would store the meat for most of the winter, and he had quite a freezer full of squirrel meat.
Yeah.
And it really didn't taste too bad.
No, it's good stuff, no question.
Yeah.
Well, I like squirrel.
Yeah.
My grandfather's an old squirrel hunter. He'd rather shoot a squirrel than a deer. Matter of fact, I don't even think he ever got a deer, maybe one in his entire lifetime. But okay. he made it tough on the squirrels at his daughter's and son-in-law's farm. And
hey, I agree with you. I'm not going to make too many friends out there. Maybe you do. I'm not much on deer, but I love the squirrel.
Well, hey, great. I mean, they're to each their own. You know, it's nature providing for us for the you know, for our sustenance. It's all good. I mean, if, you know, anything that's prepared well from the wild is usually pretty good to eat. You know, so.
Well, listen, Alan, I appreciate your input tonight.
Sure. Let me see what I can find out on the urban squirrel situation.
Okay,
but, yeah, there's definitely a season.
Yeah.
And, you know, there's the city has its regulations, too. So.
Right, and it is Baltimore City. So
yeah.
I appreciate that. Thank you.
All right, Brian. Thank you. Bye-bye. I guess you pretty much do what you want when there's not anybody really, you know, enthusiastic to support the law. I can't see the city police being too overly concerned about an elderly guy shooting a couple of squirrels or trapping a couple of squirrels. But doesn't mean it's not wrong or illegal. So, anybody ever watch MOTV, My Outdoor TV? It's apparently a subscription service, and it's called the Netflix for the outdoors. Know anything about it? No. It's owned by a guy, the outdoor / sportsman group owner, Stan Kroenke, K-R-O-N-K-E. He has removed all hunting and blood sports, quote, from My Outdoor TV, the fledgling subscription service formerly known as Netflix for the outdoors. And this is an opinion from Jim Shepard on the Outdoor Wire, the editor of the Outdoor Wire. He said, seems Kroenke's more willing to risk ruffling the feathers of U.S. hunters and anglers who continue paying to maintain his billionaire status than risk being snubbed by Ricky Gervais at tea time in the U.K. Despite his decision, he's found that still not enough for the anti-hunting extremists there. Unfortunately, there's no consolation to the fact that Kroenke's learning there are no reasonable measures acceptable to the anti-hunting groups. They're all in until hunters are all out. So, you know, you can try to appease these people. We don't hear. Do we, Chris? We think the animal activists are, you know, what they are. We think they're a fringe group. We really do. Man has been hunting since the dawn of time. It's only been the last 100 years or so that the animal activist mentality has come about. And, you know, especially with the advent of the cartoons on television that anthropomorphize animals like, you know, Bugs Bunny and Daffy Duck, taking them from game to, you know, lovable little characters, you know? You know, I mean, we've got animals that can talk. We've got a talking mouse that an entire industry has been evolved around in Florida and California and worldwide, a mega media outlet that, you know, glorifies witchcraft and sorcery and things like that. And, you know, all based on a little talking animal, a little talking mouse and his family, his girlfriend and his dog that doesn't talk, and then the dog Goofy that God knows what that. There's a dog called Pluto that walks on four legs and barks, and then there's a dog called Goofy that stands on two legs and talks. How does Goofy communicate with Pluto? Or do you never see them in the same room together? Can't hear you.
I don't think you see them in the same room together. Well, plus, the fact is, too, it's cartoons. It's not supposed to be logical.
It's not supposed to be logical.
Well, most
you're right about that. I mean, you know, you've got the classic predator-prey thing there with Wile E. Coyote and the Roadrunner, you know, and a two-ton block of iron can fall on Coyote, and he crawls out from under it, and, you know, Roadrunner goes beep-beep, and down the road he goes, you know. So, you know. But the whole cartoon thing, I grew up on that. But you know what? Never took it for anything other than what it was, fantasy. You know? So, anyway. So this guy, Kronk, he founds this group called My Outdoor TV and calls it Netflix for the outdoors, and then eliminates all hunting from it, you know? I guess we can go shoot, you know, a rhino in the interest of conservation with a dart, you know, and take its measurement and release it back into the wild. I'm not seeing this thing. I have no idea, you know, which is a good thing. But, you know, you can't shoot a squirrel with a 22, you know, or something like that. I have no idea. So anyway, we have a little example of the cartoon thing and what happens. And keep in mind, there's a hunter in this scene, too.
Wabbit season! Duck season! Wabbit season! Duck season! Wabbit season! Duck season! Wabbit season! Wabbit season! Duck season! Wabbit season! I say it's duck season, and I say fire! Try that again.
Okay. Poor Elmer Fudd. He's just as confused as the other two, right?
Right. Wabbit season. Duck season. Wabbit season. Wabbit season. Duck season. Fire! Okay. This time you'll start it. Whatever you say. Wabbit. Duck fire!
Yeah. Keith in Baltimore City, good morning. How are you?
Okay. I heard one caller about the coyote and the trash in Glen Burnie.
Yeah.
Well, I'm a night watchman in West Baltimore.
Right.
Lafayette and North Menlo.
Okay.
I've got a pair of barn owls. My job site is next to a cemetery.
Okay.
And I've got a pair of barn owls that live in the cemetery.
That's pretty cool. Is there a mausoleum or something there that they roost in?
I have no idea. I don't go over there. But
why not? You don't go over there at Baltimore City Cemetery at night?
No.
What kind of white night watchman are you?
No.
Of course, they probably don't need guarding over there in that facility. Oh,
well,
man.
I just don't like carrying my gun around.
I don't blame you, yeah.
But now, last night was an 8-point buck come across the parking lot.
Yep. Yep, that's pretty cool.
Saw a Baltimore Oriole last week.
Okay.
They said, I was talking to the nun that lives at this cemetery. She said that this is the most congested wildlife in the state of Maryland for different wildlife.
Well, I might have to disagree with her a little bit, but maybe in her sphere, in her world, it might very well be.
Well, no, she had somebody come out from the Baltimore Zoo.
Uh-huh.
And they took inventory.
Oh, I see.
You know, walked around and took inventory of all the wildlife.
Okay.
And they were just dumbfounded.
So they walked around and took inventory of all the wildlife. I imagine they had a little checklist.
Yeah, they wrote down what they saw.
Mm, sure.
Yeah. But, I mean, I just thought it was odd, you know.
So she said it is the most congested area for wildlife in Maryland?
For the oddball birds and stuff.
Oh, the oddball birds, I see. Okay. All right. Yeah, I'm not gonna disagree with a nun.
I've got
noted biologist.
I've got fox. There's even pheasant over here.
Now that part's unusual.
I know.
Yeah, you got foxes and hawks and eagles and birds of prey. It's kind of unusual to have. Now, have you ever seen a coyote?
No.
Oh. Huh.
What?
How about a bald eagle?
No, I haven't seen one of them over here.
Okay. I know you got the barn owls. Have you seen any barred owls? B-A-R-R-E-D.
I don't know what they are.
Okay. All right. I got it. Any weird noises at night while you're out there? Do you hear anything that alarms you that could be wildlife? I mean, like screech owl or, you know, red fox or something.
The only thing I hear is the foxes yelp.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
You know, they'll yelp a half a night.
Mm-hmm.
But, I mean, it's just odd that, I mean, I'll...
Well, you have ideal habitat. You don't have a large population of people there, a lot of cars and stuff back and forth. So you've got a rather peaceful area there for critters to be. You know, they're in a cemetery. I mean, I'm guessing it's pretty quiet unless they're mowing the place, right?
Well, I'm only six blocks from where Freddie Gray got hurt.
Mm-hmm.
So I mean, that's what I say. That's how far
yeah,
up.
Quite a landmark there you named. Mm-hmm.
You know, that's how far up in West Baltimore I am.
Yeah. Mm.
So, all right, I just wanted to...
Well, I appreciate that. I appreciate that, Keith. Yeah, thanks very much for the call. Take care. All right.
You have a good day.
You too, buddy. Bye-bye.
Bye.
There he goes. Let's talk to Fran in Baltimore. Good morning, Fran. How are you?
Good morning.
Good. Hey, you don't have to apparently go far to find critters down there to hunt.
Yeah, right. Anyway, I'm going to talk about encounters.
Yes.
Well, when I lived, I had a house many years ago, Mount Washington.
Right.
They have a lot of trees and stuff.
Sure.
I thought I would never stop having encounters with bats.
Oh, they're terrible.
Oh,
yeah.
Lord. I went out on the porch one evening, and just before dark, and I thought I would water this hanging plant that I was so crazy about. And he must have decided that's where he was going to spend the night.
Mm-hmm.
And I poured the water in the plant, and he came out that pot and flew right over my head.
Had
a heart attack.
Yeah, that would do it.
And when they get in your house,
yes.
Let me tell you, they know how to hide.
Oh, yeah.
So
no
well.
Question. Oh, yeah.
Oh, my goodness. What the next one was in the living room. He wrapped his stuff inside my curtains. We looked for him. Finally, he came out because we were hitting everything. Then the third one that got in the house, in my daughter's bedroom, she was little then,
mm-hmm.
And you know those things they have, well, you may not know, but they have these things you hang on the wall, got little pockets where they can put things or put their little shoes.
Yeah, yeah, sure, I know exactly what you
well,
got.
Do you know he hid in one of those pockets?
Oh. Well, that's what they do.
Put his head out to peek to see where we were. That's where he made a mistake.
I bet.
Oh, but those bats almost drove me crazy out there.
Yeah, they're not fun. There was something on Facebook the other day, Robin showed me, that somebody bought some patio furniture from, who knows, some hardware store or something. Maybe it was Target. I don't know. But they put the umbrella up at a, you know, family event, and a bat fell out on the table, you know. Caused quite a stir.
Mm.
So, yep. Tis the season.
I want to ask you, did you happen to go to that deer management banquet on the 17th? You didn't go, was it?
Quality Deer Management on the 12th. No, it was canceled, actually.
Oh, really?
Yeah, it was canceled. I was supposed to emcee it, but it got canceled.
How did that go?
No, it got canceled.
Oh, okay.
All right, thank you. All right, thank you, dear.
Bye.
Bye-bye. And there goes, whoops, there goes Fran. Sorry. All right, let's see. I know what I've got to tell you about. I got to tell you about Clyde Sports Shop. You know, bow season begins on September 8th, and if you're looking for a crossbow, Clyde's is one of the largest dealers, the Maryland leading Coda bow dealer, and I just see a mistake there. The leading Coda bow dealer in Maryland, that's for sure. And then they got a new line of bows from Bear, the renowned archery company named after Fred Bear. And, of course, it changed hand 100 times. The new Bear X crossbows, the Torrid FFL and Physics FFL Bear crossbows as well. They carry Parker, too. And they carry the bows and the Quest G5 and all kinds of crossbows and compound bows. You can check it out at Clyde Sports Shop. And then muzzleloader season, of course, not far around the corner, the Thompson Center muzzleloaders. And then they also carry the UML, the Ultra Muzzleloader Ignition System for the Remington UML. Maximum burn efficiency of the Ultra Magnum charges up to 200 grains. That's at Clyde Sports Shop, 2307 Hammonds Ferry Road in Lansdowne. Don't forget the Browning Dove and Clay loads for $5.95 a box, too. You can get those for the upcoming dove season. So Clyde Sports Shop, ready for bow season, ready for dove season, ready for muzzleloader season. Go check them out. Clyde Sports Shop, celebrating 60 years since 1957. 410-242-6108, 410-242-6108, Clyde Sports. Two S's in the middle is the website. The fishing hotline 24 hours a day is 247-3474-247-FISH.
Good looking weather to take us on up to Eclipse Day Monday. We've got sunshine in the forecast, some lower humidity to enjoy today. Had bumpy weather to get us into the weekend, but now sunshine this afternoon, northwest wind, some lower humidity and high of 88 degrees. Tonight, clear sky, low 68. Sunday, sunshine, high of 87. Monday, eclipse day, sunny in the mid-80s, low 90s with sunshine on Tuesday. Chance for some thunderstorms midweek on Wednesday. I'm meteorologist Scott Lariamore from the Weather Channel for Talk Radio 680 WCBM.
For great fishing tackle, crabbing supplies, and up-to-date fishing and crabbing information, I recommend Fish Bones Bait and Tackle in Pasadena. To get there, take Route 100 to the end. Hop on Mountain Road towards Gibson Island. Go 2.5 miles to 4729 Mountain Road. All you need for any type of fishing, crabbing, and the best fishing report on the Mid-Bay. Fish Bones also carries the best stainless steel crab steamers you'll ever find. Call 410-360-0573, 410-360-0573 for Fish Bones Bait and Tackle in Pasadena. This is Alan Ellis for Bay Linex of Glen Burnie and Catonsville Linex Spray-On Bedliners. Linex Spray-On Bedliners are rated number one and carry a nationwide lifetime warranty. A Linex Spray-On Bedliner completely seals out water, meaning no rust in your bed. Your tools, your tackle, crabbing, and hunting gear can't hurt it. Choose the Linex Premium or the Linex Extra. Both look great. Bay Linex and Catonsville Linex now offer truck gear, the toughest accessories for your truck. Step bars, tonneau covers, floor liners, grill guards, you get it. Bay Linex of Glen Burnie and Catonsville Linex provide the best protection for your truck. Protect your investment, your pickup truck, like I did with a Linex bedliner and truck gear accessories. Bay Linex of Glen Burnie, located at 201 Wholesome Way in Glen Burnie. 410-789-0199. 410-789-0199. Catonsville Linex, new location, 2076 Lord Baltimore Drive in Windsor Mill, just off Security Boulevard across from Coons Ford. 410-455-0800. 410-455-0800. Linex.
If you're a working man and your truck breaks down, you only need to know one repair shop, W&W Tire and Auto Service in Finksburg. They built your reputation on getting you in, fixed, and out the door quickly, efficiently, and a very competitive price. Bridgestone and Firestone tires for pickups, SUVs, and commercial vehicles. Large trucks, motorhomes, even diesel engines are no problem. W&W Tire and Auto Service on Route 140, 3233 Baltimore Boulevard in Finksburg. Just look for that big American flag. Call for an appointment, 410-833-8410, W&W Tire and Auto.
Talk Radio 680 WCBM.
Put me on a mountain. way back in the backwoods. Put me on a lake with a biggin on the line. Put me around a campfire.
Talk to Sharon in Violetville. Good morning, Sharon. How are you?
I'm not so sure, but I'm sure glad you're telling the stories because I'm right around the corner from Chris, but and I didn't tell him this part, but I'm grateful to kind of remind me of the dangers of these things, too, because I like to sit outside with the birds and everything.
Sure.
I even have a squirrel that comes up and eats peanut butter off a knife every day. I call him One Eye because he's only got one eye.
One Eye, okay.
And well, a lot of times the injured ones get very human-friendly.
Yeah, they
like
can.
Being taken care.
Mm-hmm.
But we did have a fox walking in the neighborhood. I didn't see it, but, you know, it's so quiet during the day sometimes, and to turn around and just see it standing there and looking at you, you know, something like a fox is, I just never.
Well, it's abnormal. That's the thing. People don't understand that this is abnormal behavior. The
right.
Fox is a reclusive animal, you know, and it works. It you know, spends its time and earns its living primarily at nighttime, you know, unless
well, see,
it's
that's
got.
That's why it's such a good thing to hear that because, like I said, I don't think of that with the birds and
right.
The squirrels. We do have two vultures across the street in the garage. Huge things.
In a garage.
Yeah, in the garage with a nest.
And
they sit on top of the light pole.
Oh,
right on the
good
street.
Grief.
I mean, they are huge. And when they fly, I'm telling you.
Let me tell you something. Vultures, turkey buzzards, or black vultures, or one of the two, build a nest in one of my tree stands, one of my box stands up in Cecil County one year. And fortunately, I wasn't there to, you know, clean that thing out. But I could tell that they were in there till we had a few good rains. Man, they're nasty. They're nasty things. So
really,
yeah.
They look pretty nasty too.
Well, I mean, you know, it's all about their diet, you know. So yeah.
But I mean, it's a good warning because you know, I a lot of times I'll sit there, you know.
Sure.
And I'm not really thinking about it around the corner.
Right.
I'm a fox or something.
Right.
You know, so
you got it.
All
right. Well, thanks. I appreciate it, Sharon. Thank you very much. Bye-bye. Hey, Mike, and wherever you're from, sorry, there's the break. We're going to have to go for now. And just hang on through the break, and we'll be more than glad to talk to you afterwards. So time for me to say for this hour, if you have to leave us and you're going fishing or crabbing or something this morning, hey, get out, stay safe, though.